Chapter 165. Mr. Bucket to his fellow visitor. And it being now made clear to you that nobody's a-going to be wronged, which must be a great relief to your mind, we may proceed with the ceremony of chairing you home again. He unbolted the door, called in the bearers, wished us good morning, and with a look full of meaning and a crook of his finger at parting went his way. We went our way to, which was to Lincoln's Inn, as quickly as possible. Mr. Kenge was disengaged, and we found him at his table in his moldy room with the inexpressive-looking books and the piles of papers. Chairs having been placed for us by Mr. Guppy, Mr. Kenge expressed the surprise and gratification he felt at the unusual sight of Mr. Jarndyce in his office. He turned over his double eyeglass as he spoke, and was more conversation Kenge than ever. I hope, said Mr. Kenge, that the genial influence of Miss Summerson, he bowed to me, may have induced Mr. Jarndyce, he bowed to him, to forego some little of his animosity towards a cause, and towards a court which are, shall I say, which take their place in the stately vista of the pillars of our profession. I am inclined to think, returned my guardian, that Miss Summerson has seen too much of the effects of the court and the cause to exert any influence in their favor. Nevertheless, they are a part of the occasion of my being here. Mr. Kenge, before I lay this paper on your desk, and have done with it, let me tell you how it has come into my hands. He did so shortly and distinctly. It could not, sir, said Mr. Kenge, have been stated more plainly, and to the purpose, if it had been a case at law. Did you ever know English law, or equity either, plain and to the purpose? Said my guardian. Oh, fie, said Mr. Kenge. At first he had not seemed to attach much importance to the paper, but when he saw it, he appeared more interested, and when he had opened and read a little of it through his eyeglass, he became amazed. Mr. Jarndyce, he said, looking off it, you have perused this? Not I, returned my guardian. But, my dear sir, said Mr. Kenge, it is a will of later date than any in the suit. It appears to be all in the testator's handwriting. It is duly executed and attested. And even if intended to be cancelled, as might possibly be supposed to be denoted by these marks of fire, it is not cancelled. Here it is, a perfect instrument. Well, said my guardian, what is that to me? Mr. Guppy, cried Mr. Kenge, raising his voice. I beg your pardon, Mr. Jarndyce. Sir, Mr. Vholes of Simmons Inn, my compliments. Jarndyce and Jarndyce, glad to speak with him. Mr. Guppy disappeared. You ask me what is this to you, Mr. Jarndyce. If you had perused this document, you would have seen that it reduces your interest considerably, though still leaving it a very handsome one, still leaving it a very handsome one, said Mr. Kenge, waving his hand persuasively and blandly. You would further have seen that the interests of Mr. Richard Carstone and of Miss Ada Clare, now Mrs. Richard Carstone, are very materially advanced by it. Kenge, said my guardian, if all the flourishing wealth that the suit brought into this vile court of chancery could fall to my two young cousins, I should be well contented. But do you ask me to believe that any good is to come of Jarndyce and Jarndyce? Oh, really, Mr. Jarndyce? Prejudice, prejudice. My dear sir, this is a very great country, a very great country. Its system of equity is a very great system, a very great system. Really, really. My guardian said no more, and Mr. Vholes arrived. He was modestly impressed by Mr. Kenge's professional eminence. How do you do, Mr. Vholes? Will you be so good as to take a chair here by me and look over this paper? Mr. Vholes did as he was asked, and seemed to read it every word. He was not excited by it, but he was not excited by anything. When he had well examined it, he retired with Mr. Kenge into a window, and shading his mouth with his black glove, spoke to him at some length. I was not surprised to observe Mr. Kenge inclined to dispute what he said, before he had said much, therefore I knew that no two people ever did agree about anything in Jarndyce and Jarndyce. But he seemed to get the better of Mr. Kench too in a conversation that sounded as if it were almost composed of the words receiver general, accountant general, report, estate, and costs. When they had finished, they came back to Mr. Kench's table and spoke aloud. "Well, but this is a very remarkable document, Mr. Vholes," said Mr. Kench. Mr. Vholes said, "Very much so." "And a very important document, Mr. Vholes," said Mr. Kench. Again Mr. Vholes said, "Very much so. And as you say, Mr. Vholes, when the cause is in the paper next term, this document will be an unexpected and interesting feature in it," said Mr. Kench, looking loftily at my guardian. Mr. Vholes was gratified, as a smaller practitioner striving to keep respectable, to be confirmed in any opinion of his own by such an authority. "And when," asked my guardian, rising after a pause, during which Mr. Kench had rattled his money and Mr. Vholes had picked his pimples, "when is next term?" "Next term, Mr. Jarndyce, will be next month," said Mr. Kench. "Of course we shall at once proceed to do what is necessary with this document, and to collect the necessary evidence concerning it. And of course you will receive our usual notification of the cause, being in the paper. To which I shall pay, of course, my usual attention." "Still bent, my dear sir," said Mr. Kench, showing us through the outer office to the door, "still bent, even with your enlarged mind, on echoing a popular prejudice? We are a prosperous community, Mr. Jarndyce, a very prosperous community. We are a great country, Mr. Jarndyce, we are a very great country. This is a great system, Mr. Jarndyce, and would you wish a great country to have a little system? Now, really, really." He said this at the stairhead, gently moving his right hand, as if it were a silver trowel with which to spread the cement of his words on the structure of the system, and consolidate it for a thousand ages. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.